Hey, thanks for joining me. What a powerful day to pray, right? Let's turn to the Mother of Mercy. Today we remember her in a special way under the title of the Immaculate Conception. And coming up in a few minutes, I'll share a little bit more with you on the Immaculate Conception. You know, the Mississippi River, the mighty Mississippi, was once named the River of the Immaculate Conception. We'll talk a little bit about you know, what the church teaches regarding that. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Rosa Mystica devotion as well. Big, big day for that. So we'll get you brought up to speed on all that. But right now, let's pray for you and for whatever intentions you might have. I want to jump right into a couple petitions that have come in. This person says, hey, Drew, it's my birthday today. Would you mind saying a prayer for me? And I wrote back to you. And Chuck, if you're listening, thanks for writing. Chuck's a faithful listener. He's been around a long time. He writes to the show a lot. I tell him, what a great day to be born, right? December 8th. My wife and I wanted to get married on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. But I guess the church doesn't let you do that on these special days, so we couldn't do that. But it's a great day. It's one of my favorite marrying feast days. It really is, this and the Annunciation. But, we'll, you know, Chuck, happy birthday to you. I want to pray for everyone having a happy birthday. Also, a couple other intentions. This person says, Drew, would you pray for Jack? He's a one-year-old in the hospital. He's fighting pneumonia and bronchitis right now. Another person writes and says, praying for our granddaughter and nephew who've been ill lately and for anyone dealing with flu and or colds, just for complete recovery and health. And another intention regarding young children and sex. Could you pray for Eva, who's only 2 years old, has had RSV and a fever now for 5 days. Pray that she'll be healthy soon. Also, pray for Margaret, who's dealing with heart failure and is also hospitalized. So really important intentions. One final one. I need to prayer, this person says, for my son and his wife's marriage. The evil they're battling is relentless. I pray that his wife can be renewed and find the love that she had for him when they were first married 11 years ago. They've been together, Drew, for 17 years. They have 3 boys, ages 11, 9, and 7. Would you please ask everyone to pray? Thank you. And I'll leave her name anonymous as well. So lots of different intentions. Oh, and one final one. This comes from Pennsylvania. Somebody asked me to pray for the soul of Jennifer Cross. I don't know if you heard this story or not. Young woman passed away 2 days ago after giving birth to her second child. She was an elementary school teacher in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And her husband is a teacher. His name's Jesse at the same school. And this person says they're the nicest couple you could ever meet. He's kind and compassionate. Story made the New York Post. And she's just asking for everyone to pray for this couple, especially this father who just lost, you know, the mother of his child and his wife. And Father Tony, we are still praying for you. I got an email today asking for prayers for Father Tony Gargatta. He has pancreatic cancer. That's a serious, quite often life-threatening cancer. And things aren't looking well for him. And they're asking for a miracle for a wonderful priest. They're praying for complete recovery. So let's hold out that big cup, right? We'll certainly do that. Maggie's praying with me today. Maggie, anything you want to lift up and pray for before we start?
Yeah, Drew, I was visited by our friend John Morales, your good buddy. He had a special intention today. He said that Cindy, his wife, Cindy has a brother named Mike who fell from a ladder a while back and really messed up. I think, I don't know what he said.
He said his back broke in 3 places.
Yeah, back broke in 3 places.
Can you imagine? And his feet were broken too.
Oh my gosh.
He was working on his boat and he fell off a ladder.
So he said that Mike is undergoing surgery today, but Mike also has heart issues. And so they're really worried about him being on the table. So we want to pray for a successful operation and full recovery.
Yeah, John stopped me before Mass today. We went to Mass together, and I prayed for him. But what a tragedy. I mean, you're healthy, you're loving life, you're on a ladder. Ladders scare me. You know? Can you imagine breaking your back? He's having surgery, I think, at this moment, you know, his back in 3 different places. So, yeah, let's pray for those who are the victims of accident and tragedy. And Maggie, if there's anything else, of course, we can get it in on the third deck unless there's something you want to say now.
No, I'll lift them up a little bit later.
We'll do that. You can get your intentions in. Maggie will give you a voice if you go to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Put your intentions there. Maggie will share them coming up in just a decade or two. Again, at Drew Mariani Show. That's our show page. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani as well. Hope you do that. One or two quick answered prayers. I should make more time to do this, but let me sneak one or two in. I loved sharing that story the other day about the tumors that shrank. You know, it's one tumor went from 17, you know, whatever it was, 17 millimeters, I'm assuming, down to 3.5. You know, an 80% shrinkage in these tumors. Jim is home from recovery, this person writes, from his brain surgery last week. I remember this intention because when you mess with the brain, I mean, any type of surgery, it's so frightening. The person writes, my brother James had a successful surgery and is on target to be home tomorrow. Begin therapy next week. Thank you, Drew, and all the relevant radio warriors. Well, congratulations. We'll continue to pray for his recovery. Another person says, look, I'm asking for prayers for my husband to find a job. We're close to losing our home. We just bought it. We're not even 2 years in for our mortgage payments. May God give us the strength and the peace for God's will to come. I'm praying for an answer. Please, 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 Lord, help my family, help my finances, help my husband, cries this wife. So I do want to pray for her and just ask for that job. A lot of answered prayers regarding jobs. Person says, I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet right before my interview this morning. I was offered the job within the hour. Congratulations, Patty, on that. Another person writes, thank you for praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I want to share a praise report. I've been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Rosary with you and some additional prayers for my daughter to get a job with the University of Tennessee. Well, those prayers came through. She got several interviews, and my daughter is prepared for this five-hour interview. Finally, after a long wait, she was offered the job yesterday. What a gift. Just want to say thank you for those answered prayers. A lot of different prayers coming in, but let's start praying the chaplet right now, and I'll share more answered prayers with you coming up tomorrow. But we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, He descended into hell the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
I'm in trouble with that Apostles' Creed, so I got caught in a loop.
Both of us.
I couldn't get out of my loop. I kept repeating myself. Well, Lord, we thank you for the gift of that prayer. We thank you for the chaplet. Let's take a few intentions right now. Sylvia is listening to us in Buena Park, California. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Yes. I like to pray for my friend whose husband is dying of cancer at this time.
Oh, wow.
I also would like to pray for my daughters that they will meet some good Catholic men. And I am also going to have a biopsy next week, and I hope that everything turns out okay.
All right, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for those beautiful daughters of you. We'll pray for those approaching death. Thank you, Sylvia. You're praying for I have two beautiful daughters, too. Love to. I pray every day for my children and their future spouses. I don't know who they are when I meet them. I'm looking forward to that. You know, it'll be great because a lot of prayer coming their way already. So, and I just pray for anyone who's looking for a spouse now, anyone who's got children. And let's just pray that they'll be good, virtuous, noble, honorable, God-fearing men and women. Lord, I pray for this, for those with cancer, those who are approaching the threshold of eternity, that you will meet them as a merciful Savior. And I just pray for good test results for those who have, you know, biopsies and blood works and scans, and they're just asking, Lord, for your healing touch. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Alejandro is praying with us in La Puente, California. Hi, Alejandro.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing well today. Thanks.
Well, I got a bet. I usually send it through Twitter. Last week, I lost my father-in-law, 97 years old.
Wow.
Today, my brother-in-law got sent home with pancreatic cancer spray.
Oh, no. It's
he's a devout Catholic, and I'm sure that that's the way I would like to be sent home with if I was given the time.
Yeah.
And I just need prayers for him. Hopefully, we can have a miraculous recovery. But if not, let God do what he has to do. I also have treatment tomorrow, experimental treatment. I'm a myasthenia gravis patient.
Okay.
And I need prayers for myself. And with that, Drew, I'll leave you for we can continue praying.
All right. Alejandro, I'm glad you called. You are part of our family here. You got such a sweet faith, and I know God hears your prayers. I love your attitude, too, because you want God's will. I mean, that's the perfect prayer. That's the way we have to pray. We have to submit to whatever God has in store, because it's going to be for the best. It's certainly going to work out for the best. Of course, I want my prayers answered the way I want them. I'm sure you do, too. But, Lord, I ask for divine healing again. I ask for miracles. This has been an hour filled with those miracles, with tumors shrinking and the impossible happening. With you, all things are possible. They really are. You know, I often think of Peter getting out of the boat. You know, it's impossible to walk on water, but not with Jesus Christ, right? When Christ is there and he says, come to me, you can do that. When Christ tells us to trust and miracles would happen, when he says through this prayer, anything you ask of me will be granted, that nothing is impossible. Let's pray with that faith. Let's get out of that boat. Let's walk on that water. Let's ask God to really honor these prayers. And Lord, I just submit to you these impossible situations. I pray for the healing of the body. I pray for the healing of the heart and the mind. I pray for those broken souls, Lord. And I give you Alejandro and all those intentions he's voiced. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I just want to pray for anyone who's been abused. That just came to me. And I just want to pray for anyone who's been the victim of abuse. Lord, will go deep and heal those wounds as well. Maggie, what's coming in? What can we pray for today?
Maureen was just diagnosed with breast cancer, but she says she's in good spirits and trusting that the good Lord will be merciful towards her. Prayers for healing and recovery for Maureen. Anne is asking for prayers for her daughter and her husband that they will return to Mass. She says, please pray that she will be able to conceive and bring a healthy baby to term. I also pray that she's cured of her addiction to food. Thank you, Drew, for everything. Gilbert had a really sweet prayer. He said, I want to pray for all fathers out there trying to provide for their families in these trying times, especially those going the extra mile. May God give them the wisdom, strength, and courage that they need. Francine is asking for prayers for her 15-year-old godson, James. He had a brain tumor removed in August and is presently in treatment for cancer cells in his brain and spine. And Katie from Wisconsin is asking for prayers for her daughter and her daughter's husband. Apparently, the husband is filing for divorce, but her daughter still wants it to work, and he is refusing counseling, which also brings to mind a woman that called in recently saying that her husband was living a double life and that he's hardened his heart to her, and she has six kids, and he's been hanging out with his workmate girlfriend. So I want to lift all these people up in prayer.
So much suffering.
I know.
It's tough. Maggie, thank you very much. Let's bring Carol in. She's praying with us in Dripping Springs, Texas as well. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Carl.
Drew, thanks for everything you do. Yeah, very quickly, just wanted to offer praise and thanksgiving. Our daughter and son-in-law were finally able to adopt a little baby. So thanksgiving for that.
Hey, congratulations,
and
Grandpa.
And also, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah, it's our first grandchild.
That's awesome.
And then also, a good friend of mine, Bill Keffler, his granddaughter, Libby, is undergoing some tests for, they think it might be melanoma, so we'd really appreciate prayers on the family's behalf.
You got it. Carl, thank you. Thank you for the good news, and more than glad to pray with you and for you. Lord, I'm grateful for Carl. I know he's got a heart full of intentions. I bring him to you along with everyone else that's now praying with me. And I give you thanks for his daughter and son-in-law and the success of that adoption. I know so many couples are struggling to become pregnant. They deal with infertility and other issues, dealing with fostering children or even adoption. And I just ask, Lord, that you make those connections, open those doors. I pray in particular for this child that would be a real blessing to the family, a tremendous source of joy. I do pray for those undergoing medical tests in this hour. It seems to be a reoccurring theme as well. Lord, I just ask for positive test results, good test results. Lord, good test results is the word I really should be using here. So I just ask for your mercy. I give you everyone who's now joining me in this prayer as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Teresa is praying with us in California. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling for a request for a miraculous healing. My niece is suffering from alcoholism, and she has had that news. She's got to be without alcohol for 6 months, and she's just starting her first month. So I'm just praying and praying that she can persevere and that she will be healed from this disease.
Well, let's fortify her with our prayers. All right, we'll strengthen her with this. This is it's a lifelong struggle quite often. But and I've shared with you in the past, Teresa, I know I've spoken about this many times, that God can heal this. And, you know, I talk about being a lifelong disease, and, you know, any counselor or expert will tell you that. But I've seen the addiction broken, and where the proclivity for the alcohol or the drug has just left the person, and they've received a complete healing. No longer a battle with the drug, you know, no longer a battle with alcohol, but complete liberation from it. Lord, I just ask you restore and heal and renew and revive and free all those right now who are enslaved in addiction, who are in addictive behaviors or relationships. Lord, those who need that freedom and that healing. And I pray for their family members, because their family members really suffer. They suffer in a unique and very special way. And I just ask for the healing and the fortification of those family members as well. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. I got the giggles. I'm sorry.
Maggie, you're going to join the blooper reel with Preston. Preston had the same encounter one time. He was praying with us. He went through the same thing. Well, the Lord knows our hearts, right? So you got the giggles, Maggie. It's infectious. All right, we'll take our last intention here. It's come from Carol in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hi, Carol. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I love the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and pray it every day with you.
Thank you.
I'm calling in to pray for my brother-in-law, Laverne. He has two or three types of cancer, but the one that he has is squamous cells across the top of his right hand.
Wow.
And they're talking about amputating his hand. And I would not want that for him. And I'm thinking that they're really working on other ways to deal with it. And then he has cancer that runs from his underarm into his collarbone.
Oh, wow.
And so they're using infusion for that. It's just that I want him to be healthy and well and not to have his hand amputated.
Well, let's pray for it, Carol. We'll do that right now. I'm glad you got through. All right, we'll pray for your brother-in-law. Pray for all those intentions. I'm so grateful that you call and you join us every day. And I'll add Lee, who's praying in Darien, Illinois, to this decade as well. Lee, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for grabbing my call. I'm going to keep this really quick.
Sure.
I would like to pray for my son who has just laid off a job that he absolutely loved.
Well, that's hard.
And that maybe the company will offer him another position. My uncle, who is 75, is having his third hip surgery on the 19th, and I just want to pray that all that goes well.
Yeah.
And my 90-year-old mom, who lives in Florida, and I'm pretty sure she's listening right now, just to keep her safe and healthy, and for our pastor at Our Lady of Peace in Darien, Father Mark, who I know is on your show sometimes, and we just love him.
It's Father Barron, Father Mark Barron.
Everything goes well. Yes, yes.
You're so lucky to have him. What a great priest. I love him.
I know. He's awesome.
Well, let's pray for him. Let's pray for all these intentions, Lee, especially for your son. It's funny you shared that story. I had a conversation with a colleague here who talked about when he got laid off from a major television network, and what he did next, he just went before the Blessed Sacrament and he knelt down and he said, okay, Lord, what's next? Because the Lord always has another door. And I've been through it too, where the Lord shut certain things down and the Lord's got a better plan for your son. So let's pray that plan unfolds pretty quickly, because I know it can be a tough time, especially around Christmas. So we'll lift you up in all those beautiful, beautiful intentions. So, Lord, I give you Bernadette and Dang. I give you Lee and Regina and Lori and Mary and Virginia and Kathy and Maria and Carol and everyone else that's on hold and everyone who's written to me here and everyone united to me in prayer. Lord, we just turn to you as your faithful children, trusting in your fatherly love and mercy. And by the passion and death of your son, we just ask you, hear our prayers and allow an abundance of blessings and miracles to take place. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one. immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Our Lady of America,
pray for us.
Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for praying with me. I'm here every day at this time. I'm looking forward to it. Tonight, I'm going to be joined. I'm going to join Father Rocky on the Rosary Across America. You're more than welcome to join us for that as well. That'll be at 7 Central. Patrick Madrid is going to be with me. We're going to hang out in the studio together, so it should be kind of fun. I'll be back. We're going to talk more. Today's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and what a great title. You know, I often talk about how the mighty Mississippi was known as the River of the Immaculate Conception. Do you know why Mary is the patroness of the United States under that particular title? I can fill you in on that when I return.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show. On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Even though the dogma of the Immaculate Conception wasn't formally defined until the 19th century, the Catholic Church has always believed in the teaching from the earliest of times. The scriptural basis for the understanding that Mary was sinless can be found in the story of the Annunciation from Luke 1:28, when the angel Gabriel calls Mary full of grace to indicate that she had the fullness of grace. This would have been impossible if the Blessed Mother had been stained by any type of sin, because all sin diminishes grace. Early church fathers such as St. Justin Martyr, St. Irenaeus, St. Ephrem, St. Ambrose, and St. Augustine all believe that sacred scripture and sacred tradition taught Mary was free from personal sin. In the Middle Ages, church doctors with a strong devotion to the Blessed Mother, like St. Bernard, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Bonaventure, all had some challenges understanding the teaching of the Immaculate Conception because it seemed to imply that Mary didn't need a Savior. In the 13th century, Blessed Duns Scotus, known as the Marian Doctor, was a big proponent of the Immaculate Conception, and he proved that Mary's preservation from original sin did not mean she didn't need a Savior in her Son, Jesus Christ. In 1848, Pope Pius IX consulted with 20 theologians and 603 bishops from around the world concerning their opinions on Mary's Immaculate Conception. Of those 603 bishops, 546 were in favor of a definition, 4 were opposed, and the rest were undecided. Finally, after consulting with 4 cardinals, Pope Pius IX issued the papal encyclical called Ineffabilis Deus on December 8, 1854. It was reported that on that morning, when the Pope read the encyclical in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, a ray of light fell on Pius IX at that very moment. It was an amazing phenomenon because in no season, much less just before winter, and from no window of St. Peter's Basilica, could a ray of light reach the apse where the Pope was. It seemed to be a ray of heavenly approval for the dogma that stated, "The Most Blessed Virgin Mary, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege from Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, was preserved immune from all stain of original sin." 4 years later, the Blessed Mother would appear to St. Bernadette Soubirous in Lourdes, France on February 11, 1858, calling herself the Immaculate Conception. Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, is the executive director of Relevant Radio.
The way the theologians have expressed this doctrine, it was actually Duns Scotus in the Middle Ages who worked this out. It was a very economical phrase in Latin, and it goes like this: potuit, decuit, ergo facit, which means God could do it, it was fitting that he did it, and so he did it. That's the theological argument for our understanding of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. God could preserve her from original sin because God can do anything. It was fitting that he did it, because if you're going to choose a woman to be the mother of Jesus Christ, to be the mother of God, it would be fitting that she be preserved from any sin. And so he did it. He could do it. It was fitting, so he did it.
As Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, if you could create your own mother, wouldn't you want her free from all sin? Our Lord did create his own mother. She is the Immaculate Conception, our Blessed Mother, who we honor today. I'm John Morales for Relevant Radio.
Yeah, my thanks to John Morales for really an excellent and very comprehensive package on a great day we celebrate today. Our Lady, patroness of the United States, and under the title of the Immaculate Conception. Why that title, right? Why not Our Lady of Guadalupe? Why not some other title? It was actually a unanimous decision, and it was really connected to the brief history of what was a new country. I don't know if you know this, every country kind of adopts patron saints, members of the heavenly court who are their special intercessors. I talked about St. Andrew. You know, believe it or not, they think he got into Ukraine for evangelization. You take a look at the different saints who are patron of these countries. Well, you know, the bishops of the United States, again, our country was only newly created 70 years, right? And then they appoint the Blessed Mother, the patroness of this country. And in so doing, they invoked Our Lady under this incredible title of the Immaculate Conception. And it was a choice at the time. It was just met with unanimous support. One that was based on a lot of different factors. The decision was actually reached on May 13th. Isn't that an interesting date, right? May 13th. It would play out in a very big way. May 13th, 1846. Fast forward to May 13th, 1917. We know what happened there with the apparitions in Fatima. But the particular title of Our Lady under the Immaculate Conception was very familiar to the people of the United States at the time. And some historians believe, actually, the flagship of Columbus, Christopher Columbus, was named the Santa Maria de Concepcion, and afterwards named the island La Concepcion, or La Concepcion. And there were subsequent geographic features in America that would be named in her honor. I've often said that the mighty Mississippi was initially named the River of the Immaculate Conception. Chesapeake Bay was known as the Bay of St. Mary. A lot of these different places where we honored Our Lady. But that was 1846, 1854, Pius IX, you know, promulgates he basically declares this very powerful dogma. And I'm joined today by somebody who is far more eloquent and far more knowledgeable on the event than I ever could be, a longtime friend and great contributor to the program, a man who holds a St. John Paul II Chair in Mariology at Franciscan University at Steubenville, Dr. Mark Miravalli. Good to have you with me, Doctor. Welcome back.
Thank you, Drew. Happy and blessed Solemnity to you and all our listeners.
Well, thank you. Right back at you, Doctor. Let's do some basics here. It's a very confusing title for some. Of course, this country, you know, I think the fingerprints of God are all over it, and there's special devotion to Our Lady. We see her role here. Some people were wondering, you know, where do we get the title of the Immaculate Conception for the country? So I led with that, but let's talk about what the Immaculate Conception actually is. I mean, what's the definition, and what are the distinctions we need to draw here?
Yeah, Drew, really, we have to start with a kind of ecclesiastical, a church rejoicing in today in who she is, because St. Maximian Kolbe just got it right. He says, when she says, I am the Immaculate Conception, she's not just saying at Lourdes, believe in the Immaculate Conception. And of course, the dogma, as was stated in the summary, is talking about that from the moment of Mary's conception, she was free from original sin. But it also means that she's full of grace. Now, one thing that beautiful summary didn't include, which is the foundation, the biblical foundation of the dogma itself, and that's Genesis 3:15. Mm. And Genesis 3:15 is where God says to Satan, to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And then depending on whose translation, she will crush your head. That's the traditional translation. And you will lie in wait for her heel. So what does that mean, Drew? It means that God the Father put enmity, in Hebrew the word is eba, absolute, total, and perpetual opposition between the woman and the serpent. So if you have a complete perpetual opposition against Satan and his seed of sin, you're full of grace. You're immaculate. You're the plenitude of grace. And that's why in Luke 1:28, that Greek term that's used is kikeratomene. You know, as the Holy Father said today in his angel's message, the angel doesn't call Mary, Mary, doesn't say Hail Mary, says Hail Full of Grace, gives Mary a new name. And what is that Full of Grace? In the Greek, it's far more powerful. Kikeratomene means you who have been perfected in grace as an action in the past. In other words, it's a past action completed by God in grace. That's what the angel calls Our Lady. So, you know, we have to start by celebrating who she is, because she's God's greatest masterpiece, greatest masterpiece. After the humanity of Jesus, there's nothing in creation greater than the Immaculate One. And you know, Drew, it's true for every masterpiece. Every masterpiece always redounds back to the master, right? I mean, imagine yourself going through an art gallery, mm-hmm. and you go up to an artist and you say something wonderful about his painting. It's a beautiful painting. I really love that. And he says, thank you. And you say, oh, actually, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the painting. And he kind of humbly says, oh, well, you know, I'm the painter. And you say, I don't care. I'm just talking about the painting. Right. That's irrational, right? We compliment the mother today. We rejoice in the mother. That redounds to God the Father. It redounds to the master who created the mother. And that's why it's never a competition between Jesus and Mary, for heaven's sake, and truly for heaven's sake here. Jesus is the one divine redeemer. But as Sheen says, he chose his mother, and Sheen got it from a St. Augustine. There's only one person that could choose his mother, and that's Jesus, and she is the totum pulcher. She's the entirely beautiful one, and that's what we have to rejoice in. Sometimes we get apologetic or we get pragmatic. First, we have to be in awe of who our Lady is, and then talk about who she is in relation to us, because she's just not an immaculate one in the distance. She's an immaculate mother brought into the battle on our side. Actually, Pope Francis has just a beautiful angelus where he says, we've got good news. The only immaculate, the only sinless creature in history is on our side, is fighting for us in this struggle. And that's why he says about, you know, 7 hours ago, he said, that's why we should consecrate ourselves to Our Lady. He says, consecrate yourselves, entrust yourselves to Mary. Let her take you by the hand. He says, consecrate every day. He says, make the consecration. But he says, consecrate yourself every day, today and every day, yeah, to Mary, so she can help lead you in this struggle. It's really a very beautiful element of an angelus. But it's telling us she's just not immaculate on a pedestal. She's immaculate to lead us in the battle for purity, yeah, grace, and holiness. That's why we celebrate today with great fanfare, the greatest possible fanfare.
I love it. My guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli, you can check him out at motherofallpeoples.com. A lot of great writing on this topic if you want to learn a little bit more. Doctor, I have to just take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll pick it back up. If you want to get in too, I've got the doctor maybe another 10, 15 minutes. Our number to get in, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Talking a little bit about the Immaculate Conception, trying to give perspective on it. Doctor, when we come back to, I'm curious about something I heard in the piece about that miraculous ray of light that seemed to illuminate this particular dogma. Maybe you can give a little more backstory on that when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Well, who is this lady? She must have a name.
Didn't you ask her name? I've told you to time and time again.
And now it's too late.
I did ask her today.
Well?
What she said, I didn't understand.
Well, speak. What was it? You haven't forgotten.
Oh, no. I repeated it many times so I wouldn't forget. She said, I am the Immaculate Conception.
Immaculate Conception.
Immaculate Conception. Do you know what it means? I am the Immaculate Conception.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is some audio from a classic film. If you've never seen it, of course, it's dated. It was made in 1940. It's called The Song of Bernadette. It's well worth watching. I'll tell you what, it's a timeless program. And of course, Our Lady would come in that place of great healing under the title The Immaculate Conception to Bernadette Subaru. And kind of an exclamation point on, Pius's ninth proclamation of Our Lady under the title of the Immaculate Conception there. And again, if you're just joining us, it's good to be here with you today. The church teaches that to become the mother of the Savior, Our Lady was enriched by God with gifts appropriate to such a role, right? And we know in Scripture, the angel Gabriel, at the moment of the Annunciation, salutes her as being full of grace. And in order for Mary to be able to give, free assent of her faith to the announcement of her vocation, it was necessary that she be wholly born by God's grace. And throughout the centuries, I think the church has become ever more aware of that fact, that she's full of grace. And in 1854, Pius IX declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. I want to talk about dogmas. I want to talk about what happened at that moment, too. And let's pick it up on that point. I'll take a few of your calls, too. If you're on hold, we'll try to get you on here at 888-914-9149. In the piece that John Morales did in the very beginning, there's this story of the proclamation of this dogma by Pius IX and a ray of light coming and illuminating the was it the documents that he held in his hand? Mark, tell the backstory of that. Was it possible it was an outside light? From what I understand, it wasn't. I'm assuming this was a divine light, really, to put an exclamation point on this powerful dogma. But fill us in on the backstory to that.
Yeah, Drew. In fact, it's even more dramatic than the commentary put it, because there was a storm raging in St. Peter's Piazza in the square there. And Pius IX comes out on the balcony to make the announcement. And as he begins the proclamation of the dogma, that which has to be proclaimed, right, it's got to be announced, a beam of light from the sky comes upon the person of the Holy Father. He gets so choked up, he has to stop and get his composure back. And then he finishes, and there's a total calm in the square of St. Peter. This was recorded by an extremely reputable historian, Monsignor, of the time. And it was testified by many. So this is how clearly heaven wants dogmas at the right time. They want the truth about Our Lady proclaimed. And when the truth about Our Lady is proclaimed, Drew, it's always chased by historic graces. So we were talking at the break, there's four dogmas on Our Lady, right? Mother of God, Perpetual Virgin, her Immaculate Conception, and her Assumption. That all deals with Mary's earthly life. But for over 100 years in the church, there's been a movement petitioning the Holy Fathers to proclaim a fifth dogma, and that is Our Lady's relationship with us. Isn't it fascinating, Drew, that those other four dogmas, sublime and beautiful, but they don't talk about Mary in relationship to us? How beautiful it would be, or even go G.K. Chesterton for a second. What would we lose if the Holy Father were to proclaim that Mary is the spiritual mother of all peoples, so that, Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and BBC, they all had to cover it. They had to say, the Pope has declared that Mary is the spiritual mother of all humanity, including her roles of co-redemptrix and mediatrix and advocate. So that's why it's been a cause of prayer and petition for over 100 years. I believe it's going to happen. When it's going to happen is between, God and humanity and the Holy Father. But I believe it's going to happen. And when that happens, Drew, there will be a historic release of grace, because then and only then will she be able to fully intercede on our behalf. And I think most of us would agree we need it more by the day, right? By the day, in terms of the advancement of evil. And it's what the Holy Father said today. We have the only sinless, human person on our side leading us in this battle against Satan. And it's past just a political moral battle. It's a battle of spirit. It's a battle between God's greatest creature and his most heinous creature. It's a battle between the Immaculate and Satan. And we're in the middle of that battle one way or the other. And that's why it's so important we acknowledge her roles so she can fully intercede on our behalf in the midst of the unprecedented challenge facing the church and the world today.
It seems that across the centuries, different dogmas are proclaimed. How many more? We have one more. Is this Holy Spirit going to continue to reveal new dogmas of Our Lady? We often refer to the fifth and final dogma of the Blessed Mother. I mean, how are we sure, and how do you make that case?
Yeah, because there's no other doctrines to define. Unless you're a modernist, and I don't mean that by, kind of the colloquial use of it. I mean, what it really means. It really means a development of doctrine that means the Trinity could become a quaternity. No, it can't. The Trinity will never do that. We only have four revealed doctrines regarding Our Lady, five, and four have already been declared. So the reason it can be safely said that this is the fifth and final Marian dogma is there's nothing else to define about Our Lady. But Drew, when this one is defined, when we crown Our Lady as the spiritual mother of all peoples. And quite frankly, I think things like miraculous supernatural events will happen all over the place. Even, supernatural healings between countries, things like between Russia and Ukraine, China and Taiwan. These things are possible, not by our means, but by supernatural means. But we're going to have to give it to the mother. We're going to have to see her as the remedy, not just as a nice, sideline player. That's going to presuppose a proclamation, a dogma like what we celebrate today.
Do you think we're getting close? Think it'll be proclaimed?
Yeah, I think, close is an interesting Vatican term, right? Because the Vatican thinks in centuries. I think we're growing closer both out of gratuity and out of necessity. The dogma is either going to come out of grace or it's going to come out of tragedy. Mm-hmm. I hope it comes out of grace, that we can acknowledge the mother. But the later it gets into tragedy, the more we're going to have to turn to her out of necessity. But I hope we honor her because she deserves it out of our love for she who is the spiritual mother of all peoples. Nothing new here, Drew. I mean, our Holy Father's called her mother of all and mother of all peoples several times. Yeah. I think it's time to crown her with this definition.
So where's the Holy Father on this?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the Holy Father, like cases like Medjugorje, has made significant changes in the past. I mean, the Holy Father's made comments about co-redemptrix in the past, but I think the more the faithful petition in a humble, obedient way, the more can move the Holy Father's heart. That's why both Pius IX and Pius XII thanked the people for the petitions that made him feel the confidence to do this. So that's why praying a petition for this fifth Marian dogma, I think, remains our call.
Doctor, only about a minute and a half left. I want to let people know how they can invoke Our Lady under this title. I know there's a powerful prayer out there that calls upon protection over the country from degeneration, disaster, and war. Why don't you share that quickly, if you could?
Yeah, in fact, if we can, Drew, let's pray the prayer of the Lady of all nations. I'll say a quick word at the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Drew, it's a prayer asking Jesus to send the Holy Spirit down into the world through Our Lady as advocate. Who can find something wrong with that? We need that by the day. Anybody who wants the prayer, will send it to you free of charge. Email us at mary@motherofallpeoples, and Mary, maybe you can pop that up on your info sheet, Drew. mary@motherofallpeoples, name and address. We'll send out free prayer cards. It's a powerful prayer before the throne of God, and we need it again by the day so that the new penance cost will come through the intercession of Our Lady.
Sounds great. Hey, Dr. Miravalli, thank you for your time. Always good to talk to you. Happy feast day to you.
Thank you, Drew. Happy feast day. God bless you all.
All right. Stay with me. Dr. Harvey Risch joins me on the other side. We'll bring you up to speed on COVID.